That makes me double glad that my wife is here tonight. I have known Brother Chad since we got here. It's been 6 years. He was a blessing from the time we met him. He took me under his wing and kind of trained me in the Midwestern from the he had to break me of Texas is what he was doing. So, but we appreciate Chad. We appreciate y'all. I've been here enough, it kind of feels like home when I come. I don't feel like a total stranger when I walk in. A little bit, but not completely. So, on another note, I've never met a short springer, male springer. They're all a lot taller than me. You know, that was a joke. You guys can laugh. So, I always wanted to be 6'3 or taller. So I think that's the... When you're 6'3, you're like a big dude. Nobody really wants to mess with you. I didn't make it, so instead of growing up, I grew out. And I've got one more. I got this off Facebook today. Did you know that the first French fry wasn't cooked in France? It was cooked in Greece. So, anyway, I thought that was awesome. We'll be in 2 Chronicles 24 today and 2 Kings 12. It's the same story, same person we're going to be looking at. We're going to be looking at a good king turned bad tonight. And my hope is by going through this that it'll spark interest in the further Bible study. A lot of it seems like a soap opera, but a lot of it parallels our lives also. And we can see the back and forth and how, hey, oh, that's like my house was, or hey, that's like such and such that we know. And anybody can take truths from these passages. So I will pray, and then we'll read, and we'll go through it then. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the opportunity to jump into your word, Lord, and see truths. Please give each one of us a truth you want us to take home, Lord. And please touch our hearts and bring us back safe in Jesus' name. I don't know why I said bring us back safe. We're not going anywhere for a while, but... We're looking at a good king turned bad. These books have the same account, but as we flip back and forth, you may notice that we're going to be looking at Joash. His name is spelled different in 2 Kings as it is 2 Chronicles. They're written by different people. We're not 100% sure who wrote them. We think tradition says that Jeremiah wrote 2 Kings, and Ezra wrote 2 Chronicles. They may be wrong. I'm just going off of what I've been reading, but they spelled Joash different. One has an H in the middle, one doesn't. It's like the difference between Stephen with a V and Stephen with a PH. It's the same person, just different people spelled it different. So don't think we're mixing the two people together here as we go through. I'm going to read 2 Kings 12, 1 and 2 first, and then we'll go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Kings 12, 1 and 2 says, "And in the seventh year of Jehu, Jehoash began to reign, and 40 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Jehoash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him." Now jump back to 2 Chronicles 24. We're going to read verse 1 and 2 there. It says, "Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was also Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest." Now, to bearing that in mind, to kind of get a grasp of who Joash was, we're going to kind of do a quick introduction into his life. We're kind of jumping into the middle of the kings, but I'll give you a little bit of background history so you see kind of what leads up to where we're at right now. He became king at age 7. He was the youngest king in biblical human history. His father was Ahaziah. I may be pronouncing some of these words wrong. I'm not from the Middle East, so they're probably done a little bit wrong. That was a joke too. Texas isn't the Middle East, so... His father was a wicked king. His father was killed by Jehu. The Bible tells us that his dad, Ahaziah, walked in the ways of Ahab, meaning that he ruled his kingdom like Ahab did. King Ahab, the Bible tells us in 1 Kings 16 that King Ahab did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. I mean, he was not a good dude. He was married to Jezebel. He had a hatred for God's people. He was in idolatry. And he devoted himself to the worship of false gods. He worshiped Baal and Asherah. But he devoted himself to ungodly things. He was not a good king. He was not somebody you'd want to grow up in his kingdom. King Ahab is the same one that went back and forth with Elijah. He was warning him of coming judgment, and then the flood or the 3.5 year famine happened. That's the king that they're comparing his father to. Now, Joash's mother, she was an evil woman. She counseled Ahaziah in the ways of Ahab, or his grandmother was evil, meaning she encouraged it. She helped it. She kind of furthered what Ahab was doing in his life. No, we all know those, you know, growing up, there's always that bad kid at school. I hope some of y'all weren't the bad kid, but when you have the mom kind of encouraging the bad kid or teaching the kid how to get away with things and how to, you know, manipulate the system, that's kind of what was going on here. Jehu, when he killed Ahaziah, he also killed some of the sons, some of the prince's sons. The mom or his wife, Athaliah, I'm sorry, we'll just call her Grandma. Grandma. When I read in my head, and when I'm reading, studying, I don't have to say them out loud, so it's not that hard. But she usurped the throne. Okay, so Jehu came in and killed the king, and he killed the princes right there, and then the queen stepped up and took over at that point. She then went on a killing spree for all the sons, the male heirs that were left in the kingdom. She was killing her own children. Now, we think that's disgusting, that's horrible, which it is, but it happens all the time here. I mean, abortions are rampant here. It's not that far-fetched for something like that to happen. She killed all the kids except for Joash. Now, she must have thought that he was dead because the Bible doesn't say that she pursued him or was looking for him. But during the time that she was killing her other male children, Jehoiada the priest steps in. Jehoiada was Joash's uncle. Okay, this is kind of getting soap opera. It's kind of all intermingled here. I have to have it written down. That's how I'm going to keep them straight in my head. But Jehoiada was Joash's uncle by marriage. Jehoiada married Joash's dad's sister, so his aunt. His dad was evil. His dad was wicked. His aunt was not wicked. She was married to the priest. When his mom was killing all of his siblings, a priest stepped in. They took Joash, took him to the house of God and hid him there and raised him up. So he's being raised by the priest and his wife. It'd be like today being raised by a pastor. If a pastor stepped in and rescued you from your home and was raising you up. They kept him for 6 years, and his mother was reigning the kingdom at the time. His evil mother was reigning the kingdom at the time. You know, there was rampant idolatry going on. There's paganism, and the things of God were forsaken by many, but not by all. There's still a remnant around. So this is kind of the setting of what's going on before we step in here. Just right as we step in, Jehoiada, right at the end of chapter 23, Jehoiada rallied the troops, the ones that were still Christian, if you want to say in today's terms, or still cared for God, still cared for the house of the Lord. He rallied them together to stand with him, to implement Joash into the kingdom. He got people set in the positions, he got the porters set up, and he got the army set up, and he got people together so he's not going on his own. If he went in on his own up against the queen, she would have killed him, she would have killed her final son, and kept doing what she was doing. But when he was announced, she started screaming treason, treason, and they got her and drug her out, and they ended up killing her. But Jehoiada keeps working with Joash through his kingdom, through his kingship. And that's where we are right now. And they worked hand in hand. They did a lot of good things together. Now, in verse 1 through 7 of 24, we've already read 1 and 2. It talks about how good his kingdom was going. We'll read verses 3 through 7. It says, "And Jehoiada took for him two wives and begat sons and daughters. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. And he gathered together the priests and the Levites and said to them, Go out into the cities of Judah and gather all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that ye hasten the matter. Howbeit the Levites hastened it not. And the king called for Jehoiada the chief, and said unto him, Why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the congregation of Israel, for the tabernacle of witness, and for the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also all the dedicated things from the house of the Lord did they bestow upon Balaam." So he starts out good. He's 7 years old. He's put in the king. You know, he's put into the position of king, and he's got the priest, Jehoiada the priest, helping him, and he's rebuilding the house of God, and he's bringing back the sacred things back into the temple too. You know, he's getting things back in order. He's getting the evil ways out. He's cleaning house. He's put out an offering plate. Hey, we're going to rebuild the house of God. And the Bible tells us that people were giving willingly, and they're happy about giving. So peace was coming back into the kingdom. Just, you know, I don't want to compare it to the political system today, but you know, when you're in a bad situation, whether it be work or home or neighborhood situation, and the police show up or gets resolved, or somebody puts an end to it, and there's a peace that comes over you, the kind of, oh, it's done, we're moving forward, we're getting past it. That's kind of what was going on at this time, and the people were relieved. I know I've been in those situations, and it's really, it's refreshing. It's a glimmer of hope when the evil is pushed away and the good steps in. So that's what he's doing. He's taking care of it. No, he was doing a lot of things right. No, but while this was happening, he didn't do everything he could have done. Joash, he didn't. The Bible tells us in verse 3 of 2 Kings chapter 12 that he didn't tear down the high places. Now the high places were, you know, where people could go sacrifice or go you know, burnt offerings, and it's not the way God wanted. God wanted his stuff in the house of God. It was partial obedience. He didn't clean all, you know, everything out. I don't, like when you go to camp, send the teenagers to camp, and they come back and go, "Oh, I'm going to rededicate my life to God," which is awesome. And I'm going to get rid of, you know, back in my day it was CDs, and back in Chad's days it was like big records, and but. Well, you know, you come back, "Oh, I'm going to clean out my music. I'm going to clean, you know, I'm going to listen to good stuff." And you throw out all your CDs, but you keep that one, you keep that two, or you give them to your brother so they're not yours anymore, but you have the access back to them. That's kind of the same thing that was going on here. There was partial obedience. He did a lot of things right, but he didn't finish it. He didn't take all the bad out. He left access there. It's leaving the door open to evil. It's not a good idea. It allows Satan access. You know, he can peer in at first, and then he'll kick the door open a little bit more. Then he'll be stepping in, and then he'll be back in your life again. You know, so whenever God's people leave a crack open to sin, or leave the door open to sin, you know, it unless you go close the door, it's going to stay open, and he's going to work his way back in. Now, And then he goes on 8 through 12, talks about the building of the house of God. And we're gonna jump over that and jump back down to verse 15. 2 Chronicles 24:15. We're going to read 15 through 17. It says, "But Jehoiada waxed old, that's the priest, he waxed old and was full of days when he died. 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done good in Israel, both towards God and towards his house. And now after the death of Jehoiada came the priests, the princes of Judah, and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. So Jehoiada the priest, he dies. And they show him great honor. They bury him with the kings. But that's not just anybody can get to the kings. It's you have to be somebody special, somebody influential, somebody very good. I mean, there's kings that they buried that they wouldn't even bury with other kings. So he was honored. And rightly so, he did a lot of great things. You know, he influenced Joash to write. He raised Joash. He put his life on the line to go get Joash and take him and raise him on his own. You know, he was instrumental in how Joash behaved. He was a moral compass for him, keeping him focused. And Joash had a great influence on the kingdom. The way that as long as Jehoiada was around, Joash behaved himself. I don't want to. You know, Joash was a man. He could make up his own mind, but he didn't grow mature in God like he should have. You know, he did good. He was cleaning up. He was rebuilding the house of God, but he wasn't grounded in the things of God. He was easily swayed after Jehoiada died. You know, he didn't make his faith his own. He would do what Jehoiada said, but he didn't take it to heart. He didn't learn it. He didn't let it sink in. It was just all surface stuff. No, it's like when you take your kids to church, you know, behave. And, oh yes sir. And then the instant you leave the room, they're smacking each other. And then you come back in, oh hey, how are you doing? That's kind of how I think. I don't think he was smacking each other around, but that's that. The truth didn't get to him. Verse 17 tells us that the princes of Judah came in. You know, they made obeisance to him, and he hearkened unto them. That's big fancy words for they flattered him and they stroked his ego. You know, obeisance is a bow or courtesy, an act of reverence made by an inclination of the body or the knee, a movement of the body. You know, they were bowing, you know, bow down to him, you know, we're not worthy kind of thing. And hearken is that he listened to it. The Bible noted that they did that and he listened. Now, we all like our ego stroked, but his stroked ego changed his direction. You know, he was doing right. He was over here, and then these princes come in, you know, I don't know exactly, we don't know what they said, but, you know, something to the effect of, oh, you're awesome. You know, you can do this. You can handle it. And his direction changed. You know, he changed with his company. You know, I love my wife. My wife is awesome, but when she gets around, we're from Texas, okay? There's like 50% of Texas is Hispanic. She gets around Hispanic from Mexico. They have an accent when they speak. So she'll talk to them. She'll be talking to me, and then we're talking to them, and then all of a sudden she's got an accent. I'm like, you don't have an accent. And then we come up here. We move up here, and there's some people carry the O's out. Like, you don't say okay. He's like, okay, or we're going to South Dakota. And then we're not here like 3 weeks, and she's like, oh, okay. I'm like, you say okay, and you say y'all, but no. So her inflection changes with her company. It's going to be a long ride home. Is anybody going to Sioux City? But Joash, he changed with his company. He went from Jehoiada doing good, and you know, Jehoiada was determined, and Jehoiada was grounded, and Jehoiada stood the trials and put his neck out. You know, but Joash, he went with the ego strokers, with the crowd. He went from a leader to a follower. He went from leading for God, doing things for God, to serving groves and idols. You know, idolatry never pleases God. Anything that you has more relevance to you than God is an idol. It doesn't have to be a little Buddha statue. It doesn't have to be Balaam. It can be money. It can be a relationship. It can be a spouse, a child, a job. It can be a car. It could be freedom. It could be anything. No, we don't have a lot of carved physical idols like they did back then. We have some, but not a lot. You know, we go into the average American home now, you'll see more crosses up on the wall than you'll see little statues they worship. But there's nothing wrong with having a cross on the wall. It's a reminder. It's there's nothing holy about the cross. It's just a reminder for you. But how many homes have you been in that have the crosses on the wall, but yet you know their God is their pocketbook? Or their God is alcohol or a drug or a spouse or a kid or, you know, that's we're not that much different from that kingdom when you think about it. Us as a nation. You know, the idol of money, the idol of relationships, addictions, the idol of power. When you catch a glimpse of that, when your ego gets stroked by that, check yourself. How often have you been tempted by that and gave it a second thought? I'm not saying you did it, but you just entertained the thought of, hey, that would be awesome if I made $60 an hour. That would be awesome if I could have a drink right now. That would be awesome if I didn't have to deal with them in my house. That would be awesome if, you know, you fill in whatever that thing is there. And that's, I hope you don't do it, but you know, the body won't go anywhere the mind hasn't gone already. And you do that too much, you're going to be following that. You know, anything that takes a higher position than your allegiance to God is an idol. You know, coming to church could become an idol. The act of coming here and the act of I sing my song, I bring my Bible, but you don't have a relationship with God. Or you value the opinion you have in here of the others more than your relationship with God. You're making your church attendance an idol. Now, influences played a major role in Joash's life. Influences play a major role in our lives. Influences play a major role in our children's lives. You know, our teenagers here. I mean, adults, kids, we all get influenced. I used to think when I was a teenager, yeah, you know, when I'm an adult, it'll be easier to stand for God when I get out of high school. And when I surrendered to preach in middle school, and in high school I went and did my own thing. I turned my back on God, and I always had that nagging, that feeling that I knew I was wrong. And I always told myself later on, you know, after high school it'll be a lot easier to serve God. Then I got out of high school and I started college. I was like, after college it'll be easier to serve God. Then I dropped out of college, I got a job. I was like, after this, and then after I get married, after I have a kid, after I have a second kid, it ended up being almost 20 years before I got back. So it was it'll keep you there if you're not careful. You know, many times we don't see the effects of influence on us. You know, working is good. We should work. If a man doesn't work, the Bible tells us he shouldn't eat. But if work takes precedent over everything, then you're wrong. No, I used to sell. There's a time I sold brand new cars, and everybody there, well, all the management. You know, when I first got there, I had my little gold Seiko watch, and you get there, and a lot of them guys wore those big, those Invecta watches. You know what I'm talking about? And it's like, I mean, it's like you would curl every time you pick it up. Well, I got there, and we used to make fun of those guys for like the first 2 months. I worked there 9 months. By like the seventh month, I was like, dude, those are awesome. I want one. And I was pricing them out, and that's a silly, I don't even know why I said that. It's kind of dumb, but the influence of them, they weren't forcing on me, but just being around them, you know, hey, they're cool guys, you know, they're making money there, but they all had that Invecta watch, and that changed my opinion of Invecta watches, and then, or the big watches. Then I quit working there, and about 2 months later, I was like, man, those watches are stupid. I'm glad I didn't, but anyway, so forget I said that about the watch. But when Joash had godly influences around him, he chose wisely. He served well. But when evil men started pursuing him and persuading him to do wrong, he caved to their influence. No, the people Joash surrounded himself with impacted the entire kingdom he was in charge of. Who you allow to influence you impacts your life, your kingdom, or your household, your sphere of influence. No, just like, I mean, your family, your friends, your work, your neighborhood, your church, the people you see at the store. Choose carefully who and what you allow to influence you. The who matters as well as the what matters. You know, your music, your shows, your podcasts, your TV, your reels that you watch on social media, your computer, all that matters. It shapes you. It puts influences on you. Now, in adults and older kids, you influence people your own age. You influence people older. You influence people younger more than we think. Now, I'm in the youth department. I'm the youth pastor now, and seeing the kids come in and they think they know it all and they think they've got things going in line, but you can see the influence of their parents on their lives. You know, if the parents put a high priority on church and the Bible, you can tell, you know, the good church kids that come in, you can tell the good ones that their family has a high priority on God and the Bible. And you can see the good kids come in that their family doesn't have a high priority of God in the Bible. You know, they're both good kids. They're both in church every week, but you can tell. And their spirit is different. Their activity choice is different. Their reason for doing something or the reason for going somewhere is different. You can tell that. Now, and then we want to look at verse 18 through 21. We're going to read 18 through 21. And look at Joash. We mentioned it earlier, but he wasn't grounded. Verse 18 through 21 says, "And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served the groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them and to bring them again to the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear." They is Joash and the princes that came to him. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada. Jehoiada the priest, which stood above the people and said unto them, "Thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you." And they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. So, Joash, I mean, he was raised by Jehoiada, and Jehoiada dies. Jehoiada's son comes to him and says, "Hey, man, you're messing up. You know, God said you're messing up. You're going to get in trouble. You're going to get judged for your actions. Stop it. You know, change your ways." And I mean, they grew up together. It was Jehoiada's son, and he stones him. He kills him. You know, somebody coming up to you and say, "Hey, you're wrong. You're living in sin, or this relationship's not right, or you need to quit doing that." And instead of changing your ways, instead of repenting, or instead of just being a man, "Leave me alone." No, he lashed out and they killed him. They murdered him for it. No, I'm sure Joash didn't see that coming when he was getting flattered. I'm sure Jehoiada, I know Jehoiada didn't see that coming when he was helping Joash. But the depth that sin took him, no, it took him further than he realized, further than he wanted to go. No, he forgot the kindness of Jehoiada the priest and the love that Jehoiada had showed him. Now, he ignored the people he grew up with, ignored God's influence, he ignored the conviction in his heart, and he killed him. He wanted to stop so bad that he killed him instead of dealing with it. And I can see myself, similarities to every step so far. I've never killed, you know, I haven't killed anybody, but I've been convicted, and I told God no. You know, I've felt the prick in my heart, man, but I want to do this. Or, you know, I've known God, I've sensed, you know, God doesn't speak audibly to me. He doesn't. But, you know, I've been read, and, you know, sin brings consequences, and and then you're in the middle of consequences, but you don't want to, your pride won't let you admit, hey, you know, this is my fault, I did it. God, you know, God warned me, your sin will find you out. So what he did is not far from what we do. And then I want to read verse 23 through 25. And Joash's his actions caused heartache for many. Verse 23 through 25. And it came to pass at the end of the year that the host of Syria came up against him, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people, and sent all the spoil of them to the king of Damascus. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a very great host in their hand, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. And when they were departed from him, for they left him in great disease, his own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest, and slew him in his bed, and he died. And they buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulcher of the kings. Now remember, Jehoiada the priest, they buried him with the kings. They take the king and they bury him away from the kings. So that is a good indicator of how far he fell, you know, from what he was. You know, he caused great turmoil for his family. He caused great turmoil for Jehoiada's family, for the people in the kingdom that were overtaken by Syria. No, he caused great trouble for himself. He was killed by his own servants after they were attacked. Now his servants were avenging Jehoiada's son. Now an evil ruler does not rule justly. He did not see the consequences of his action. Pride came before his destruction. And listening to bad advice cost him more than he thought. Now you may say, you know, Brother Lund, that's nice. That's, you know, that's in history. That, how is that relevant today? Now, how often have you been doing good and then strayed? Now you come to church, you do good at Sunday. You do good, you're fired up. Monday, are you doing good or are you doing bad? What's your talk like around the coffee machine at work? What are you listening to while you drive around? Now, a good start doesn't mean a good end. But on the opposite of that, a bad start doesn't mean a bad end either. Now, God's ready and waiting to take you back. God's ready and waiting to forgive you. But he won't force you to do it. You're free to choose what you do, but you're not free to choose the consequences of what you do. Is there a Jehoiada holding you up? Is there a priest holding you up? We all need somebody to lean on. We all need somebody to give us advice and wisdom and to help us along sometimes. But is that the only reason why you're standing? Is that the only reason why you're at church? Is that the only reason why you read your Bible? Is that the only reason why you pray? Is that the only reason why you insert whatever that is here? Memorize verses or dress a certain way or not partake in certain things? Are you grown enough to stand on your own? Are you willing to stand on your own? Will you change at the stroke of an ego? You know, if some pretty girl comes in and starts flaunting her eyes at you, are you going to focus on that too much? Somebody comes in with a big pay raise, are you going to focus on that too much? Or a new car or a new boat? You know, are you being a Jehoiada for somebody else? Are you teaching somebody else? Are you bringing them along? Are you influencing them for God? You know, God can call anyone at any age to fulfill his purpose. Don't downgrade young people for wanting to be used by God and being used by God. Some of the best soul winners I've ever met have been kids. You know, adults will listen to kids. They'll take tracks from kids way faster, and they're way more trusting with kids than they are with adults most of the time. You know, don't downgrade older people for trying to be used by God either. Godly teachers can only teach us what we want to receive. You know, Joash, I know he was taught way more than he retained. You know, Jehoiada was buried with the kings, and he did all this for the kingdom, and he raised them up, and you know there's just wisdom oozing off of him. But yet Joash he forsook it. He turned from it. You know, we must be careful with the company and the company we keep and the desires we seek. We have choices. Joash's story could have ended much different had he made different choices. He could have refused to listen to the princes of Judah who brought bad advice. He could have acknowledged his sin and repented when he was confronted. He could have purged the land from the idols and all the high places of worship. He could have closed that door to keep Satan from having access. He could have, but he chose not to. We sometimes complain about the difficulties of life, but we are often living the consequences of a choice we made. God desires us to seek him for his choices we make, big and small. You know, Zechariah took a stand like his dad did. Jehoiada didn't get killed. He didn't get killed for standing up for doing what was right, but Zechariah did. It cost him his life by a man who started out right, by a man who was, we would say, was on fire for God. He was doing stuff. He was setting things straight. He was, you know, he was rebuilding the house of God. But yet he ended up murdering a man. And Joash refused godly reproof. No doubt he felt convicted, but he chose to act against it. You know, Joash was remembered. He's remembered as a used to be Christian. He used to be good. He used to do good. Now, in closing, I want to ask you, what if you were to die this week? Would you be remembered as a used to be Christian? I mean, the people who know you best. I mean, not the people at church, you know, but the people who know you best, your best friend, the people who associate you with you the most. Would they say, oh yeah, they're a Christian, and there's no doubt they're a Christian, or they're great on Sundays, or they're just like me. They're not. They weren't a Christian. Oh, they you can't tell they go to church at school, or you don't know. Oh, I didn't know that they were, you know, going souling. I didn't, you know. How will you be remembered? I mean, if we had to stop right now, how would you be remembered? We're gonna pray shortly, but I want you to go out of here tonight, hopefully reflecting on how you'll be remembered, how your actions are, and your influence. But also, I hope it sparks interest in the kings. You know, you can get a lot of truths out of these books. So let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this evening. Thank you for your truths, Lord. And please allow us to take them home and meditate on them and get the wisdom out of it we need to make our lives better for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.